Let's take our chorus books and turn to song number 27. This is one we have sung recently, but I think it's important in light of the topic we're looking at today for our services. So, hope it'll be a blessing to you. Pastor may have wanted to mention this, but let me put it in so we can pray for it. Need to pray for Brother Glenn. They had to take him to the hospital last night. He collapsed. His back is so bad. And the doctors have told him there's nothing more they can do for him, not even surgery, because his back is so bad. So he's at home now, but just pray for him. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for a good day. We thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. We thank you for new beginnings. Every day can be a new day if we get the sin out of our lives and our wayward thinking corrected so that we can live for you anew each day. Help us to do that. We pray for Brother Glenn and for Pat, for Brian and Erica and the whole family. I know this is a heavy burden on them. We ask that you would just comfort and strengthen them at this time. We ask that you would just ease the pain. Whatever can be done medically to help, I pray that the doctors would have the wisdom to know what to do to help him. We pray for Brother Les and Sister Nancy as well during the difficult circumstances that they're in right now too. Pray that you would comfort and strengthen them today as well. Give us a good day. We pray that you would receive the honor and glory for all that's said and done. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Pastor.
All right. So, yes. So I have some other sad news this morning. Miss Florence passed away Saturday, right, brother? Friday. She passed away Friday. We got word yesterday. So, yes, I couldn't believe when they told me that she passed, because Tuesday, we were just there Tuesday, and she seemed completely fine, talking. nothing to show that she would pass away that quick, other than being 95 years old. I mean, she was talking with us, talking about her family, talking about her life, and sitting up in a wheelchair, just fine. But the Lord took her home Friday, so keep that in prayer. Lord willing, I'll know something Monday or Tuesday regarding the funeral. I think it'll be this week here, but they're supposed to let me know Monday or Tuesday what her niece is gonna, what they're gonna do, what they plan on. So as soon as I find something out, I'll let everybody know, and I'll also put it on the website too. Maybe the times, if you'd like to come over to the service at the funeral home. So just keep her family in prayer. Another announcement I have here, a few other announcements. So July 3rd as well, I'll mention it in the Sunday morning service. July 3rd, we're going to have another picnic, church picnic, for July 4th. It'll be over at Caddy Park. We got another pavilion over there from 12 to 4, so if you're interested in coming out with that, I'll put up a list here probably tonight if you're interested in coming. But that'll be July 3rd, that Saturday. We got a wedding this morning. So after the little sadness, we've got happiness as well. Brother Jim and Sister Donna getting married after the morning service. So if everybody's welcome to stay. We'll probably, Lord, we'll get started around 12:30, and then afterwards some refreshments downstairs. So we'll do the wedding at 12:30. And then also just keep in prayer. I appreciate everybody that prayed for the street ministry and sign holding. It went well Thursday. We were able to go down to Front Street and Pine Street, hold up some signs. They work, because my daughter got yelled at again. She seems to be the only one that gets yelled at, so I don't know what. I tell her, I said, Ellie, you just got to be quiet when you're out there. You can't yell at people when they're going by. No, she doesn't do it. She's wonderful to have out there. But the sign she holds up says, "Where will you spend eternity?" People don't like that question. Where will you spend eternity? And so she got yelled at again. So, but that means you're doing something. Right, if that question didn't mean nothing and God's not real, why are you getting so irate? Yeah. If God doesn't exist and you're an atheist and there is no, why then are you so mad at something that doesn't even exist? No, God does exist. You know that in your conscience, and that's why you're crying out against it. So keep that in prayer, Lord. We're going to try to go again this Thursday from 6 to 7 down there on Front and Pine Street. Like I said, I was able to talk to the chief. we got permission from them to go out there and do this. So if more people come out, I believe we can go on different corners by two. So anybody's welcome to come on out. I'll say this too, in a plug for that. I get scared every time I go out there and do that. So if it's, don't let the devil mess with your mind saying, well, I can't go out there and hold up a sign because somebody might say something to me and you're scared about it. That's good because you're in the same boat with me then. Because, what, Thursday morning, I was thinking of every excuse not to do it. Well, it might rain out. The wind's blowing too hard. You know, that's just the enemy, because the enemy doesn't want the scripture getting out there and somebody seeing it. So let me encourage you that if you think you're the only one that gets scared, no, I'm right there with you. As soon as you know what, I don't know about some of y'all that's been out there holding the signs, but it seemed like me, as soon as you get that sign up, I care less what you say to me, whatever, for the glory of God. So that'd be Thursday from 6 to 7, if anybody's interested. Let's go over to Bible memory verse real quick this morning. For the sake of time, I'm not going to have anybody quote it this morning because of what we got going on after the services here. But if you got your little red book, we'll start here. We're going to add in the third one there where it says death is sure. But if you have the red book there, the little red book, they still haven't come in, the extra ones I've ordered, so Lord willing, they'll be here this week. Page number 9, where it says assignment number 1, we'll just repeat here. It says, life is brief, James 4:14, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And we can repeat all together. We'll repeat the second one here. Life is uncertain. Proverbs 27:1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And the third one here, death is sure. Hebrews 9:27. And as is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Amen.
I think the Lord knew what the topic would be today. We've just lost one of the best prayer warriors this church has ever had. Obviously, Florence, with her being not able to get out anymore, and that was all she could do, but she did that over and over and over again. Many of you have told me stories of that over my time here. And now we need some people to take her place. All right, let's turn to song number 83. 83.
Jesus, my Lord and King, only one tongue to pray.
we'll stop right with that.
Kids can go to Sunday school.
All right. So if you take your Bible and look, we'll go back over and start again in the book of Genesis. We'll study there in Genesis, and we'll pick up kind of where we left off, Genesis chapter number 1. Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 28. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 28. The Bible says this, it says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the earth, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Let's go ahead and pray again. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and your grace, Lord. Just ask for just wisdom and guidance now, Lord. Just give what's needed. Open our eyes, open our ears to behold wondrous things out of your word. And Lord, that may help us just draw closer to you in these last days. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to kind of pick up again here and finish up chapter 1. But if you notice there in verse number 28, it says this. It says, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it." And I just want to spend a little bit of time this morning as we look at these last verses here about the importance of being fruitful and multiplying. Being fruitful and multiplying. Now listen, that's the job of every believer that claims to know the Lord Jesus Christ, is number one, to be fruitful and then to multiply. Okay? Being a witness daily. Carrying tracts with you. I try to carry tracts with me everywhere I go. Not that I try to give everybody I see a tract. That's not my objective. Now, there's some believers out there I know, they try to give everybody and their brother a tract. That's not the way I work. I believe God will provide the open door and opportunity. And I believe you'll know it's there. You take an example. Yesterday afternoon, I was out here, we finished up mowing, and I came back to the car, and Ellie said something about somebody that was mowing. It looked like their mower was struggling. So I went over to him and said, "Hey, you know, you can borrow the church mower while I'm here and we can get your grass cut." And he's like, "No, I don't need that. I was just working on something." I said, "All right." But it was an opportunity to talk to him, and he lives right here in this neighborhood, and invite him out to church and to ask him about his soul. But that was, to me, an open door that God just provided. It just was there. And so take those opportunities. When you start your day, whether you work night shift, day shift, mid shift, or whatever, before you start your day, ask the Lord to bring across your path someone that you may have an opportunity just to talk to about the Lord. And I believe that goes along with what the Lord is saying from the very beginning. He tells Adam and Eve, he says, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. How is the church going to get replenished but by those that are fruitful and try to multiply? Putting forth the word of God out here to this world. So take your Bible and look at Colossians chapter number 1. Look at the book of Colossians and chapter number 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 9. Being fruitful. Colossians chapter number 1 and look at verse number 9. Colossians 1, 9. Colossians 1, 9, the Bible says this, says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now listen right there, and I'm going to stop for a moment right here with verse number 9. But look what it says here. Paul says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you." And what was Paul's desire? And desire that ye might be filled. What is Paul desire for us or the church to be filled with? With the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Okay? God, Paul desire for the church there that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will for their life. You see here, brethren, listen, if you're saved and you're born again this morning, there's a higher calling that, well, there's no other higher calling in your life than God's will. You understand this morning? There's no other higher calling in your life this morning than what does God desire for your life? I'm reading a good book his name was Zoli Galambos. I believe I'm saying his last name right. He grew up over in Hungary right before World War II. And something else, his story is just amazing. But in that story, his dad was a farmer, and his dad and mom were hard on him and his brothers. And he wanted to get out of that life because that life was so hard. So he wanted, his desire from the time he was a little boy was to be a doctor. And so he ends up being able to go to grade school. He graduates from there. He's able to go to what they would consider high school, I believe, because you had to pay for it. And the Lord provided a way for that. And then he ends up going to the university. And he goes there for a year, and he's studying, and he's working his way through it. But God, towards the end, just shuts the doors. Basically, God shuts the doors for him to go back to the university. Well, he's got to go back home. But God deals with him through a good Christian brother who had led him to the Lord. And Zoli had to come to the position in his life to realize, do I want to go forward in my life to do what I want to do in my life or what God is calling me to do in my life? And he had to wrestle that thing out to where it even cost him. His mom and his family disowned him, and she kicked him out of the house, said, "Get out of this house," because he said he was going to follow God. He lost, basically, he walked out of that house with basically the clothes on his back, and that was about it. But he was determined, "I'm going to follow God." And you know what? As soon as he determined to follow God and do what God, it came in a great, he lost his family, he lost everything he had except for the clothes on his back, but he had God. And when you read that book, as soon as he stepped out in faith and trusted God, it's like a weight was lifted off his shoulders. He put God and what God desired in his life higher than his desire to be a doctor. And it came at a cost. You see, it comes at a cost. If you desire to serve God, it is going to cost you something. Because if it doesn't cost you something, I then have to question whether it's for God. Because everything that I read in the scriptures, when it comes to serving God, there's a sacrifice involved in it. There's a sacrifice. Because that's what God requires. God requires a sacrifice. So look at verse number 10 in Colossians chapter number 1. Look what he says here. He says that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Look what it says, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, with all patience and long suffering. With joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So Paul tells the church here in the very beginning here of Colossians, he says, verse 10, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. God desires for us to be fruitful. Now, how do we have successful fruit production? How do you successfully, if you're a gardener or if you're a farmer, what can you do to ensure or do to the best of your ability to ensure that you're going to have a good crop, that you're going to have good fruit that you can either eat for yourself or that you can sell it and make a profit off of it? Because that's the reason you're growing it.
Number one, in order to get good fruit, to be fruitful, to multiply, to replenish, you have to be willing to allow your ground to be broken up. Take your Bible and look at Jeremiah chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Will you, in your life, allow God to break you up? Look at Jeremiah chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Jeremiah chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse number 1. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. And thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth, in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. You see, Jeremiah the prophet, God's using Jeremiah the prophet here, and through Jeremiah, the Lord says in verse 3, for thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem. What had happened in Judah and Jerusalem? They had grown hard and cold towards the things of God. Hard and cold towards the things of God. So bad that in some points in the book of Jeremiah, God says, don't even pray for them anymore. Don't pray for them. They're so far gone. They so far rejected me. Don't even pray for them anymore. But God says here in verse 30, number 3, he says, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Too many Christians today are sowing among thorns, and therefore it's not producing fruit because they're just tossing the seed of their life to something that doesn't matter. You know, I was talking to a brother yesterday about this, and it's something that the Lord's just really laying heavy on my heart recently. And we'll see kind of what we've seen the last couple of weeks while I was preaching about why has the church lost its power, of really readjusting what I put the emphasis on. Seriously on that. And this thing that happened with Miss Florence even cemented into my mind even more. Boast not yourself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. One minute you can be fine, and the next moment, you're gone. You're gone. And I say, Lord, help me. What did Jesus say when he prayed? He says, I do always those things which please him. I do always. Jesus said to the Father, I do always those things which please the Father. That should be our cry. Every morning, we should cry out to the Lord every morning, Father, help me to do those things that please you and not me. I do always those things that please the Father. Fallow ground. I ask you this morning, is your ground hard? Is your ground not tilled? And if it's in that condition, will you allow God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to plow up your life? What happens when you plow soil that's been hardened? Or when you plow, you break it up, it gets all stirred up, it gets turned over. Will you let God work in your life? But don't be surprised that when God starts working in your life, things start seeming like they're flipping upside down. Because that's what you need. We need that flipping upside down, that turning over, because that means God's doing something there. He's getting us to a point to where when we're being turned over, we're being flipped upside down, hopefully when that plowing's occurring in our life, it'll turn us to cry back out to him and say, Father, help me. It will cause your walk to grow closer to him. But if you stay in a stagnant state, what need is there to cry out to God? Why is America in the state it's in today? Because America is facing no hardships.
No, we ain't facing no hardships here.
Yeah, we went through COVID and all that's happened here. But when only maybe 5% of the world population has died from COVID, that's just from their numbers, 5%, maybe. I don't think it's much above 5% the last time I did the numbers on it. Worldwide deaths. When you look at some of the numbers in the Bible, when God takes people out because they're not doing right, and you're talking about 20,000, 30,000, 40, 50. There was one battle, more people died, and I can't remember off the top of my head right now. More people died in one battle that God dealt with a nation than that died in the whole Vietnam War. One battle, I think in like 3 days, more people died in that battle in the Word of God than died in the Vietnam War. America has not faced no hardships yet. Now, there's people in America that are really struggling, that have nothing, that are homeless. But as a whole, the country as a whole is blessed beyond measure compared to some other countries that are out there in this world. So why aren't people crying out to God? There's no need to cry out to God. Why would I come to church this morning? For what purpose do I need to even come to church this morning when I have everything I could possibly want? Some of you in here could testify that when you first got married, or when you were growing up in the 30s or 40s or 50s or even in the 60s, listen, and you got married, you just couldn't go out. If your parents didn't have money, you just couldn't go out and get whatever you wanted. There was no credit like there is today. A new couple today can get married and on credit get everything in 1 week that some couples took years to get because of hard work. And you know what this produced? It's produced a spoiled attitude. We're spoiled in this country. We are absolutely, and I'm speaking for myself. I look at my table last night, we had somebody over for dinner, and I looked at my table last night and I said, God, you're just too good. I said, God, you're too good. And I look at all the food that was on that table and I could choose, there was different, I could choose what I wanted to eat. And not only could I choose what I wanted to eat, I could eat as much as I want. I didn't have to worry about saving little portions for tomorrow to have food today because we don't have enough food in the cupboard to cover today. Some of you in here, you had to do that at one point. Your parents had to do that. Your grandparents had to do that. They had to portion out and ration out food. But you see, today we got everything we want and there's no need to cry out to God when God says, break up your fallow ground. God desires fruit. God desires fruit to your account. God desires for you to be fruitful. But in order to be fruitful, you got to allow God to get in there and break up that fallow ground. You got to allow God to get in there and use the tiller on you to get you where he desires for you to be. Take your Bible, look at Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse number 12. Jeremiah 29 and verse number 12. Look what Jeremiah 29:12 says. Jeremiah 29 and verse number 12 says here, verse 12 in chapter 29, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. He says in verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when? When ye shall search for me with all your heart. You'll find the Lord, you'll find him working in your life when you search for him, when you seek him, you'll find him when you do it with all your heart. Now, allowing the Lord, I said this before, allowing the Lord to till in your life will produce a satisfaction and plenty of bread provided through the new birth. And listen, what I'm saying is this, if you allow God to till up your land, if you allow God to work in your life, you'll be satisfied, and not only will you be satisfied, there'll be plenty of bread that'll occur and take place in your life. Take your Bible, look at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 11. Proverbs 12 and 11. The principle of tilling up the ground before you sow seed will produce bread, will produce what you need to have bread. Look at Proverbs chapter 12 and look at verse number 11. Proverbs 12, 11. Look what the Bible says here. Proverbs 12, 11. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, and he that followeth vain persons is void of understanding. Take your Bible and look at Proverbs 28, 19. Basically, Proverbs 28, 19 says it says the similar thing that's mentioned in Proverbs 12, 11. Proverbs 28 and verse 19. Look what it says here. It says, he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, and he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. Now get this now for a second. I believe that there's a plowing and a tilling that God will do in your life if you allow him. But then I also believe there's a plowing and a tilling that you can do in your own life. There's something that you can do. Jeremiah said, seek ye the Lord, seek after him with all your heart. Do your part. Well, you say, well, God's not doing nothing in my life. Well, number one, are you asking him to? And then if you're asking him to, he will. But now do your part as well. You say, preacher, well, how do I? Because the proverb says, he that tilleth his land. It's referring to you. If you till your land, the Bible says you'll have plenty of bread. You'll be satisfied with bread. Well, how do you till? Pick this thing up right here. You pick this word of God up. And you let it start tilling and plowing up your heart. You see? You ain't going to get nowhere with your heart unless you're plowing and tilling with the Word of God. Allowing the Word of God to get in there and do something in your life. To till it up. Now, I know we had some people in here that their family was farmers. Now, I know in the book that I was reading over there in Hungary, when they tilled up that land and they were getting ready to plant the seed, it took at least 3 or 4 days to get what they need to get done. From sun up to sundown, they out there so much so that their hands would sometimes freeze up holding those the plowshare and the horse as they drove that horse. Five minutes, 10 minutes in the Word of God is not going to do much plowing. It'll do some. You'll get something out of it. But apply that application to the physical side. Any farmer or gardener in here that plows or uses a tiller for 10 minutes is not going to have a very big garden. Do you till up your garden, brother? How long does it take you to till? You use a tiller?
I use a shovel.
Use a shovel. How long does it take you? A day? Or couple hours.
As I get older,
he used a shovel. Now his garden is not an acre garden. No. What's you know the dimensions on it? What?
10 by about 14. That's all.
10 by about 14. Maybe. What you put into it is what you're going to get out, right? I'm not putting down Brother Joe's garden. I'm saying, but what you put into is what you're going to get out, correct? If he till up more, if he shoveled more and planted more, by the end of the season, he's going to have more tomatoes, he's going to have more cucumbers, he's going to have more lettuce, or whatever he planted, he's going to have more of it. The more you put in, the more you're going to get back. That's just the laws of sowing and reaping. So what you put into your Bible reading, what you put into your prayer time is what you're going to reap back. If I put 5 minutes in, just a daily little quick devotional in the morning, and then the rest of the day I go without anything else, then I'm going to go off of the strength of just that 5 minutes I put in there. And my fruit production and what I'm bringing forth back to the Lord is going to be what I put into it. Just like it is in the physical realm, it's the same in the spiritual realm. tilling up the ground. To the man or woman who prepares the heart for the things of God will find that Jesus Christ is the bread of life and will satisfy any longing soul. You know, the older I get, the more I desire to serve my Savior. Because the older I get, the more I realize that nothing in this life matters outside of Jesus Christ. Nothing has that same taste anymore. It seems like the older I get, that my taste gets, what's the word I'm looking for? Not duller. Just as the things in this life are just not as flavorful as they used to be. The older I get, the more I realize, Lord, just help me, Lord, these last days that I got. Help me, Lord, to put the emphasis where you desire for me to put the emphasis. Help me, God, to be fruitful. 1 Samuel 7:3, you don't have to turn it, I'll read it to you. 1 Samuel 7:3, it says, "And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord." Samuel tells the people, he says, prepare your hearts to the Lord. Well, that's one of the definitions of tilling and cultivating. You're preparing that land for the seed and the crop that you want to come forth. Samuel says, prepare your heart unto the Lord and serve him only. Serve him only. Ezra 7:10 says, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach it in Israel, its statutes and judgments." Ezra prepared his heart before the Lord. In 2 Chronicles 12:14, and the Bible says, "And he did evil because," why did he do evil? "Because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord." 2 Chronicles 12:14. Preparing your heart for the Lord. Now, cultivate means to break up. Cultivate means to prepare for crops, to manure, plow, dress, sow, and reap. When's the last time, I ask this question, when's the last time you were broken before the Lord? Now, I'm going to use this broken in this sense. Not broken because you're sad for something that has occurred in your life, but broken before God because you realize what you are before the Lord. There's a difference. There's two different types. There's a couple of ways to be broken before God. I'm talking about being broken before God because you realize what you are and your desire is to love him even more. You're broken because when you examine your life, you say, "Lord, I don't get how you keep putting up with me." You get in that prayer closet or you get in your prayer time with God and all of a sudden you just realize, "Lord, why do you keep putting up with me? why do you love me? Why?" And when you're alone with God, sometimes, it might not every time, because everybody's got different personalities. But there ought to be at least one time in your life where you get broken and some tears come to your eyes before God. There ought to be some point in life to where you realize he's a holy God. I'm a wicked, unrighteous, undone sinner, yet he still loves me and allows me to serve him. What a privilege and an honor it is today to be a child of the King. Listen, if you're saved this morning, your royalty. Forget the royalty in England. I got the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No disrespect to the monarchy over there. No disrespect. But my King is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm his son. I'm a joint heir. Do you understand this morning? Do you really realize what that means? Let that sink in this week. That if you're saved, do you are joint heirs with the King of Kings. You want to talk about being a prince or a princess? There's no greater one in the entire world. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And you're His. You're His son. You're His daughter. He's your father. He's your king. We're royalty this morning. When the Lord was laid in that manger, glory to God, when He was laid in that manger, the Creator of all mankind laid there in that manger with those cows and horses and chickens and whatever else that was in there, sheep. The king was laid there in that manger, and Mary and Joseph had the opportunity to hold the King of Kings in their arm. They fed the King of Kings, the Lord of Glory, the one who spoke everything to existence. Mary fed Him. Mary changed Him. That she held His hand, Joseph held His hand and helped Him to walk. Do you see what a privilege and an honor to serve Him this morning? Brethren, give me something that this life will compare to what I just told you. Give me something. I used to tell those boys in the juvenile center, everything in this life will give you a high. There's things in this life will give you a high. And I'm talking about drugs. I'm talking about good things. There's some good things out there that'll give you a high in your life. You'll feel good. You feel like you're on top of the world. Everything's going great. The sun is shining. Everything's perfect in your life. You're up here, but you ain't going to stay there long. At some point in your life, you're coming back down again. And for the most part, a lot of us, we spend a lot of time down here, and there's very few up here. Because that's just the way life is. But I used to tell those boys, you could smoke as much pot as you want and get high. But I noticed for a fact at some point you coming off that high. You can get drunk. You can drink alcohol. You can feel good. It can make you feel good. But I know for a fact at some point you're coming down off of that. And if you drink enough of it, you are not going to feel very good. Right? Why? Because it doesn't satisfy. People are looking at that for an escape. Well, I'll just take a couple drinks just to ease the nerves. Why not Jesus Christ? I don't need to drink no alcohol. I have Jesus. I don't need to smoke no pot. I got Jesus. I don't need to do no heroin or meth or LSD or any other mock or whatever other drugs are out there. I don't need to do it. I have no desire to do it because of Jesus Christ. He satisfies my longing. All my life long, I had panted for a draught from some clear spring. That clear spring is Jesus Christ. Cultivate, to be torn up. You know another thing that gives you fruit production? Manure. Fertilizer. Will you allow the Lord to bring some manure into your life? And you know what I'm talking about. Some stinky situations that you got to face. Some stinky people you got to be around. But it's the only way you're going to grow. Some manure. Manure is not pleasant. Now you can get used to it, but a good farmer will use chicken manure as fertilizer, cow manure. Use it for fertilizer. Now today we do it in a clean way. We get man-made fertilizers. But in the olden days, you used manure. You did it the right way, and you cultivated it. You made a compost pile, and you used all that stuff that's been sitting there for a while. And then when you get ready to do your garden, you put it in your garden. It gives you good fruit. Manure is this, to apply to land any fertilizing matter as dung, compost, ashes, lime, fish, or any vegetable or animal substance. We're going to close with this morning. Look at Jeremiah chapter 38. Jeremiah chapter 38. God help me. So often this theme here is, I think because I'm in a bad situation or a situation that's just not pleasant to be in. And I often sometimes, I said it before a week or two ago, sometimes we blame the enemy on it. We blame the devil. Well, this is just the work of the enemy. Actually, it might just be the work of God. Putting you in that spot, putting you in a position where there's some manure that's getting on you. But he's doing it that if you handle it the right way, he's hoping that you'll grow from it. Take your Bible, look at Jeremiah 38 and look at verse number 6. Jeremiah 38, 6. Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Micaiah, the son of Hamelech, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords, and in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire. Will you allow God? Will you allow God to put you down in a situation where you're sinking and you think that there's no help? No doubt that did not smell very good. That dungeon that Jeremiah was put in, now this pit and no wire, water, and they drop Jeremiah down into that pit. And as he gets to hit the bottom, the Bible says he starts to sink in that mire. Look at verse number 7. Now when Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Ebed-Melech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, "My lord the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city." Then the king commanded Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, saying, "Take from thence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die." And Ebed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old clouts and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian said unto Jeremiah, "Put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes under the cords." And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him up out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the courts of the prison. Why was Jeremiah put down there? Because he's serving God. You understand this morning? Jeremiah was put in that position because he was serving God. And God allowed it. Could have God stopped Jeremiah from being put down into that dungeon, in that pit, in that dungeon? Absolutely, God could have stopped it. But God allowed Jeremiah to go through it for his purposes, for his glory. You see, you don't see Jeremiah getting up out of that pit and saying, "That's it, I'm done. No more serving God. I'm not getting put down in some place like that again. I'm not getting put in that mess again, sinking in that mire, having those dirty clout rags and wrapped around my armholes, and they're pulling me up with these nasty rags as I come up out of this nasty dungeon pit." No, Jeremiah goes on serving God. I bet you Jeremiah had some good fruit that he produced before the Lord. You see, good fruit production sometimes requires manure. It requires fertilizer. It requires using some stinky situations to get a better result with your fruit. Just some things to think about this morning. Will we allow God to put us in some situations that just, in our own minds, just stink? It just stinks to be in this position. It may be used to grow greater and better fruit for your Savior if you allow it. If you allow it. If you allow the situation to work the way God desires for it to work, you can come out of that a better Christian, a more fruitful and productive Christian. Genesis 1:28 says, "Be fruitful and multiply." You'll never be fruitful, you'll never multiply if you don't desire to be stirred up, tilled up, and some manure used on you, getting into the Word of God and allowing it to work upon your life. It'll never happen. I'm going to close with this. You can have the greatest speaker standing before you this morning, a great orator, someone that could stir your heart, stir your mind, stir your emotions to go out and just do some great thing. And unless you're a great man or woman of great character, at some point that's going to wane and it's going to stop. But if you're born again of God and you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, you'll always have that push, because the Holy Spirit will be there if you allow Him. To the times where you feel like quitting, the times you feel like, well, it's just not there, you can still get up and go because the Holy Spirit's there to help you with it. You're not always going to have the great orator there pushing you on, the great motivational speaker saying, get up and do this. But if you have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you, there's no greater motivator if you allow Him to. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this opportunity this morning. Lord, I thank You for Your word. Dear Lord, I pray You'd help Ray Street Baptist Church. Dear God, I pray You'd help us to be fruitful. I pray You'd help us to multiply. Lord, I pray You'd help us to replenish. Dear God, saints are going off the scene. Lord, I pray, dear Lord, that it's sad, dear God. It saddens our heart with the loss of Miss Florence. As was said, that she was a great prayer warrior. But Lord, like it was also said, Lord, someone else needs to step up and take the position that she had. Lord, help us to be about Your business. Lord, help us to always do those things that please You. Lord, if there's things in our life that's hindering us, Lord, if there's things that we've allowed in our life that's hindering our fruit production, Lord, help us to do some pruning. Help us to purge out those things, dear God, that may be hindering us from being all that You would have us to be. And Lord, I thank You for this opportunity this morning. I thank You for these precious brethren. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the Holy Spirit, dear God, that we can be saved, that we can be born again. Lord, help us to be about our King's business. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, brethren. Take a little break, and we'll get started up here in a few minutes.